W8FU. Morning, Jerry. How you doing?
Good. Well, I guess I was good until I got into work, and now I've got three early, so... But that's okay. I got some bills to pay off.
Yeah, it's one thing we don't get. A lot of overtime. Even the technicians don't get a lot. They get standby, which is pretty good. That's a nice little bump, but don't get called out all that often. And never scheduled like you're doing.
Yeah, this is winterization. We don't have enough staff, and I work 7 days a week, so if I take a day off, somebody's working 12 to cover me.
Bankroll on that retirement, right?
Max out my 401k every spring.
There you go. You got a defined benefits pension or just the defined contribution?
They don't pay anything into my 401k plan. I've got I'm a legacy employee. With them wanting to take the wrecking ball to the glass house, I'm hoping they'll offer me that $50,000 that they offered everybody the first year of the contract. I think 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, you were saying that. But, so you have an actual pension, correct?
Yeah, the last of the pensioners, 2012, was the cutoff. Everybody got hired after that. But then that's the same just about everywhere. There's no... we're all the last of the pensioners.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that. I'm a pensioner as well, but I've got, I think I got three guys in my shop that are, well, and plus my secretary, all pensioners, and then I got one, two, three, then I got four who came in after. But they do have a defined contribution program. So, they can invest so much in their 401, and then it's pretty good, too. I think it's they can invest up to 4%, and the employer will double it. They'll put in 8. So I'm pretty sure that's how that works. Pretty sure that's the deal they got.
Newbies, they offer them 7%. They offer 7% company contribution. So, I went up north for the Edmund Fitzgerald 50th thing, and a video came out. I have to look up your email address, and maybe I'll forward it to you.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm big interest in the Fitzgerald, anything Fitzgerald, so have to check it out.
I found another interview. It's a three-parter that the guy's in his 90s, and I guess he spent 4 years on that boat as a third mate or something.
I saw a couple of good ones recently. I saw one that was it was a documentary, very well done. It wasn't, Ken Burns style of fit and finish, but it was very thorough and very matter of fact. And then they had some old guy on there. They actually were talking to the captain, previous captain, and he was, and then they had the captain and somebody else from the Anderson, which was following right behind him. Last one to hear him. So it was kind of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, this guy was a captain as well, but on a different boat. But when he was on the Fitzgerald, you know, he was one of the hands. And later on, he, like, graduated up to that. Yeah, now, we did some POTO while we're up there. I get this one park. It's a Little Lost Harbor, a Little Lost State Harbor, I guess. And it kind of gave reminiscent of my uncle. He had a cottage up in Tobermory on Lake Huron, the Bruce Peninsula. And anyway, you drove by a bunch of these cottages in the way to this harbor, and nobody has the electricity up there. They're all off the grid, solar panels and all that.
Yeah, my buddy bought a place up up in the UP somewhere, same thing. And I think he installed, last I heard, he had a generator and batteries and solar and all that stuff. So I haven't talked to him in a while. I ought to see. It's been a number of years since he got that. I haven't heard how it's going. Kind of last time I talked to him, he had just got the solar battery set up installed. So wondering how that's working out and holding up over all these years. But I know one thing, I ain't no power running back to him. I ain't gonna be.
Oh, yeah, it was like that at my uncle's place. He had this little called Indian Harbor, it was called, on the Lake Huron side. And he had 88 acres. He fought with the province at one point. They tried to get it as farming land. And there was just, like, way too many limestone rocks and birch trees and stuff like that. And, you know, this ain't farming land. Anyway, yeah, he had, like, two bedrooms, a bunk bed each, and then a common room with a wood stove and a sink. The water came from Lake Huron.
Well, sounds nice. Still got it?
I was last up there in 1980. I think there's like a bigger property and there's like a bigger home on there from what I can see from Google Earth. So, no, they don't have the property. My aunt, my uncle there, you know, they all passed on years ago.
Yeah, well, some of those little places, you know, great memories, but long gone. I used to have one. It wasn't anywhere special, you know, just it was on the tip of Wasi, but way up in the footwaters of it in Alger, near Alger, I should say. And I was like, I think it was like 80 acres, and same kind of place you described. You know, wood burner, and there was a bunk room that was added on and cinder block, and then there was another room that was part of it, and just a big common room, a well, and a lot of fond memories of that one when I was growing up and young man. Did a lot of deer hunting up there. Boy, we never got really lucky up there. That was terrible. Things are so much better now than they were, but anyhow. That's long gone. That got sold off. After that, I become kind of a hobo deer hunter. We would just go, you know, set up wherever. We had certain camps that we went to, you know, year in, year out, but it moved every now and again, every 4 or 5 years. Like, we're going to try this, we're going to try that. But anywho, those places are gone, going away.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's probably, I did the Google thing for my house, and it's probably about the same amount of drive of 5 hours to get up to Tobermory. So I don't know. I might go up there to do some parks after I retire or something. But, yeah, and then the way up the way up there to Whitefish Bay was pretty decent, but the ride back, man, it's on the end of the video. The very end of the video, the ride back was a white knuckle. My adaptive booze kept going out because the snow squalls would cover up the sensors, and then it wouldn't work anymore. It's like, I like just the old, everyday old cruise control.
I guess I never really thought about that. That sucks. Is that a common thing, or is that just something about your truck? Boy, if that's common, that's a pretty crabby thing. Is there a way to turn off adaptive?
I don't know. I'd have to research that.
Now, it seemed like you could turn off adaptive cruise control and just go to a standard situation like that, because that would be a royal pain.
My coworker was suggesting to put WD-40 on the sensor so that it would make the snow sheet off or something.
Well, I think I'd do a lot of research on that before I started squirting WD-40 on my sensors. So, but, in theory, it seems like it would work, but I don't know.
I never know if we would eat the plastic, KG-887.
Morning, Dakota. What's shaking?
Morning. Just sat down with my coffee. Gonna go through some emails. Just try to stay caught up. I'm getting pretty behind. And just another day in the freezing cold.
So I assume you're gonna go out. Get some trigger time in, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to be out this afternoon. I thought about going this morning, but it's been kind of nice sleeping in. I haven't had that opportunity in a long time.
Roger that. All right. I'm just pulling up here. Timmy Ho's got to drop in and grab myself a coffee. Be back in a minute. W8FU.
All right. I'll be standing by. I need TDF. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dakota or Terry. Hey, so you're in that you do something with data entry and stuff?
Not necessarily. I'm director of infrastructure of IT for our company here.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, I was just curious because, you were asking me about, I work at the Ford Enterprise Data Center. I fill in over there. I'm at the glass house nowadays. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm going to retire next. But I was kind of looking. I came across a magazine that they threw out at work. It had to do with cooling towers and stuff. And I found some. This particular refinery. I think it was out in. I think it was out in Arkansas, and they were using the municipal. Wastewater or whatever, and running it through filters so they could use it for their refinery cooling tower process. I thought that was kind of interesting. They're trying to save from the aquifer that they were using millions of gallons of water from.
Seems like a good idea. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's kind of like those quarter car washes. They recycle all that water, too, to keep costs down and not waste water when you can just reuse it for the task at hand.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat to spend a lot of expense on filters and stuff, but, you know, when you're saving the water that everybody's using. And I know that's a big beef with a lot of these new AI plans that they want to put in. All the objection is, you know, a lot of it's the grid and water.
It does take a ton of power and a ton of water to cool those centers.
We gotten a few bucks lately already, or what?
No, it's been a slow season starter. I don't know what's going on. I've only seen a handful of deer pass on an 8 that my buddy's boy shot. And then just so far that doe I shot in bow season. So I'll go back out tonight and hopefully see a couple of does that I can lay down. I got buddies that want me. I want another one. And then, you know, if a monster walks in front of me, sure, but that's not really what I'm chasing.
I got one I seen about a month ago in my backyard. I don't know, it was like a 12-pointer. It was probably 250 or better. It was a pretty big big buck, and there are a bunch of does, and they're all grazing in my neighbor's yard.
You're downriver, right?
Yeah, I'm south of the Detroit Metro Airport, here in Township.
That's over by, what is that, Sumter?
Sumter is the next township west of me.
All right, copy that. I used to go down there for work quite a bit. Yeah, there's you're on that border of south enough that there's some monsters. I'm back.
Just one park, Brownstown Prairie. And there were some bow hunters in there one night when I was activating it, and I guess they had snagged one. But it's a bow hunting only. They got signs there from Brownstown saying $500 fine, discharging a weapon, blah, blah, blah.
Question.
Here you go. Yeah, we got a doe. And she had three little ones living in our yard. Ah, man, road crows are through traffic. Anyhow, my wife's always worried, you know, deer hunting season. I go, Andrea, we live in Warren. You can't discharge a rifle here. No one's hunting here. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, she had three, and now I only see two with her little button bucks.
Yeah, it's probably for the better that they don't let people just start rattling rounds off in those populated areas.
Got three bucks I see from time to time in Dearborn, of all places, over at World Headquarters.
Well, that's how it works. First we run them out when we take over their habitat. And then as time goes on, they learn that, you know, aside from them great big animals with the shiny eyes, it's pretty safe down here. Plenty to eat, and especially the scavengers like the raccoons and stuff. But you know, they work their way back, and then pretty soon they work up there amongst us. One in the backyard, she's so used to seeing me now, I'll go walking out back and she'll just be standing there looking right at me, and you know, maybe, you know, sometimes as close as 30 feet, and she's just kind of looking at me as I walk by or in the yard. So it's kind of, what's this jack wagon doing, man? Weird driving situation this morning. Anyhow, it's kind of weird how just accustomed they get, and it's, oh well, what you gonna do? And I got the Red Run drain, which is that, you know, really well, good cover for them. And then there's a great big wild park. It's not really a groomed park,
with just a walking trail cut through it, right near me. So I presume that they, you know, migrate over this way from there. But this one here is living in my neighbor's yard, I think. But they spend most of their time sunning and just chillaxing in my yard. It's kind of funny. Oh well.
They do a good job adapting, that's for damn sure. They don't really care. They just need, I mean, really, they just need food.
Headquarters at World Headquarters.
Then they'll taste gamey.
I'm a fan of the corn-fed ones.
Yeah. When I was in Alger, hunting a lot. Those were acorn and whatever else, pine cones, whatever the hell they can get there. And they had a definite, distinctly gamey taste. And then when I was hunting in Hillsdale, Nashville, down in that area there, oh my God, what a difference. You know, like you said, Jerry, 250 pounders, you know, and the Boone and Crockett was just glorious. You know, everything was symmetrical and big racks, and the stuff tasted like cow. Just what a difference.
Well, I got a couple of the metro parks, Oakwood, the golf course. The metro parks are a lot of places for them to go.
I work with a guy that lives in Troy, and he sends me pictures of some just ridiculous deer that obviously he can't even consider shooting.
All right, let's see here. Son of a bitch. All right, this guy's getting a nasty gram on his windshield. I don't know why these guys can't get it straight. We go through all this trouble for our lot. These guys just come piggy it up. This asshole's getting a litter. All right, I'm at work, and I'm pissed. I got to go. I'll catch you guys later. W8FU.
Good luck, Sean. Get him.
The gray line marker. 7-3, I got, I'm just coming up to home. KT8
All right, sounds good. Have a good day, guys. NADBF. I didn't catch the call, but good morning. How long is that truck for you? About 35 minutes?
It's 50 minutes without traffic and an hour with traffic or more.
That's right. You usually work from home, don't you?
We do 2 days a week. Sometimes we'll stretch into three from home. But, yeah, we're supposed to be in 3 days a week to the office. I don't even have the worst commute I'm aware of. I know the one guy that comes in, he's got a house on Stanford Lake.
Don't mind the drive.
Well, there were some people that moved and like, well, we're going to be virtual from now on, so it doesn't matter where I live. And then they decided they wanted you to come in the office, so now these people get long commutes. I was kind of, you know, when I picked my house, I was like, well, it's kind of a long drive I have to go in, but I don't really have to do it that much. And yeah, now it's going to be more and more.
My last job, I commuted an hour and 20, hour and a half every day for about 8 months in my personal vehicle. And then I got my company car. And then he finally was like, stop driving, it's not worth it, you're wasting too much time. But I was about at my wit's end with that commute, so I know. You get to a point where you start weighing it out, you're like, is this really worth the drive?
Working for a small engineering firm out there, and they ended up closing up shop, and there's not a lot of engineering out in Iowa, not like here, sort of having to go to the next town over. It was a 2-mile drive, and yeah, we just, luckily it was all highway, my house was literally off the same highway. I just had to hop on the highway and drive 80 miles for an hour, but still, was quite a bit. Three of us ended up going, I worked at the place to close, going to the same place, so we started carpooling and sharing some gas and wear and tear on the vehicles, but yeah, glad I'm not doing that anymore.
Was that near the Quad Cities? Cities. I got a buddy that just left beer after 10 years. Same thing. There's just not a lot going on out there.
I was in Cedar Rapids and then had to have a drive out to Dubuque, which is right where Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa meet.
And that's all flat, straight roads out there, isn't it?
Actually, it's really not. That area is very, very hilly. You're winding through the hills, so yeah, it wasn't actually too bad. There was some fun commutes in the winter. But, you know, you get on that highway, there's not a soul around. I think it was doing like 55, 60 in the snow because there's nothing even to hit.
It's actually surprising. When I think of Iowa, I think of just flat plains of nothing and fields.
Yeah, that was my thought when I moved out there. I was like, yeah, it's going to be flat cornfields everywhere. And it was like right when you cross the river, it's pretty hilly. And, I was actually really surprised how much terrain was actually out there.
I don't think I've made it out there yet, but I got a couple of buddies from school that are still out there. I'll have to make note of that if I ever go visit them.
Yeah, there's not much out there. My oldest daughter was born there. We got released from the hospital and hopped in the car, and we've been here ever since. I haven't gone back. She just turned 12, and her mom actually took her out there for Halloween. They went on Halloween, skipped trick-or-treating, and went out to Iowa. So it's been 12 years since I've been there.
No desire to go back?
Yeah, not really. If I'm driving 10 hours, I'm going to the UP, not to the cornfield.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny situation. We got out there, and this small company employed 12 people. About 6 of them were from Michigan. And the one guy went to high school with my mom and knew my mom. So it's a small world.
So are you originally from Iowa, or are you from Michigan?
I grew up in Warren. I grew up in Warren and was down there, and then went right when I graduated, I started at General Dynamics, and 6 months in, they pulled the contract, and it was worst time of the Detroit area to be looking for an engineering job when every engineer in the state was out of work, and they wanted, you know, a minimum of 7 to 10 years experience, because they could get it, no problem. So it was, I looked for about a year and a half, and then told my out there and said, we got a job for you. So, well, I've never been to Iowa, but I guess I live there now.
Any DBS. Yeah, at that point, I guess you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, it was a job, but, I mean, not what I wanted to be doing. It was, we were basically an extension of the drafting department in Rockwell Collins. So we were drawing circuit boards and wire harnesses and stuff like that for Rockwell Collins. And Rockwell Collins decided that the labor in India was cheaper, so they stopped giving us work and sent it to India. And we were with our only customers, so we had nothing to do. So everybody started finding jobs elsewhere.
Yeah, the quality of Indian work is also much cheaper. What kind of engineer are you?
I'm actually a mechanical engineer, so I'm a mechanical engineer, but I have a lot of side interests or hobby in electrical stuff, but most of it's over my head.
Is that how the radio world started?
Yeah, a little bit. I had an interest in high school and electronic classes, the teachers talking about it. Actually knew Sean in high school. He dated his daughter for a little bit, for a couple months, but so kind of had a little bit of an interest, but didn't really get into it until after I was graduated back in Michigan and decided to pull the trigger.
One of my biggest regrets is not pursuing my electronics classes in high school. I forgot which one it was, I dropped it like 2 weeks in. I blame the teacher and the curriculum because it started as like just fundamentals like resistors and different ohms and things like that. And it's like, dude, this is so boring. Like, tell me the fun stuff I can do.
My problem was that the electronics and stuff like that, those were all the courses that the kids in the back of the class like to take, you know, so we always had issues with the quality of students, but, you know, if you put into it, you got out of it, you know, but anything else had to deal with the kids that were just looking for the easy grade.
Kind of like shop class.
Yep, I took that one too. Well, auto shop. And, we didn't have any sort of wood shop. The one high school had a metal shop. But yeah, that was part of that whole crowd.
Towards the later, I guess the last 3 years of high school, we had, it was called REXI, but it's now actually the Romeo High School, but it was the Romeo Engineering Technology Center. So fortunately that came to be right before I got, you know, old enough to understand that I wanted to do something with my life. And I spent most of my remaining years there. And just took all the computing classes and stuff, and here we are.
Yeah, I think we had it was the last 2 years, there was a vocational school where you could do all sorts of different, there was like a Daker class, but there was CAD and CAM and auto body and building trades and all that sort of stuff that you could take that I'd like to have gone there, but it just took, like, it took half your credit hours, so, and I wanted to do auto mechanics too, so it's like, I would be there for 3 hours, and I would have to take English, because that was the required class, and then I would have my auto mechanics, so it was like, I couldn't afford to do the 3 credit hours it took for the class.
I definitely think there's some serious flaws with public education and the way it's structured.
Yeah, and they just cut the budgets and everything all the time, so that was part of the problem was all the good classes now they just don't have the funding for. I was at the school before a few years later, and they had shut down the whole CAM class, so there was they weren't teaching that anymore. Just all the machines are just sitting there collecting dust. It's not like the 60s and the 70s anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately, all the classes that are worth anything require more than a book.
Yeah, they don't even give them that anymore. All my kids' classes, all the books stay in the classroom. They don't take them home. They just have to do all their stuff in the class.
It's probably not a bad idea for how much these things cost, and I remember vividly all the just destroyed books going through school, everyone drawing on them, ripping pages out, just stupid stuff, kids being dumb kids.
Anyway, I remember always having to take a grocery bag and make a cover for them. or you buy that sticky plastic stuff that you put on the books, and you didn't get charged for any damage to your book.
Yeah, they'd check them out, and they assigned you a number and signed a thing saying you agreed to take care of it.
Yeah, I was in private school up until high school too, so those were those books were just because they didn't have any sort of budget. They could barely keep the doors open.
Yeah, textbooks from 15 years prior. That was the same thing when I went to Romeo. Nothing was new. But I'm going to jump out of here for a little bit. I'm going to go grab some more coffee and get this kid ready for school, so I may talk to you in a little bit. If not, have a safe commute, and I'll catch you later. I'll be clear of yours, NADBF.
All right, I'm passing the Mount Holly right now, so wave at the repeater. 7-3-CADBY.
Morning, fellas. Talk to you later, fellas. Sounds like you're both almost to your destination. I heard you talking about school and books and stuff. K-K-K-K-O.
I've still got to get 20, 30 minutes.
Ah, there you go. You know, the whole writing in the school books and the paper bags to cover them up and all that fancy stuff is part of my generation, I think.
Oh, yeah, we did it, too. I know there was, you could buy, like, special book covers and stuff that you can get fancy ones, but we always just cut up the grocery bags.
Yeah, only the fancy kids get the Trapper Keepers. You know, I got the Kmart specials.
Yeah, we had the, they were the 5-star binders that everybody had to have. And you get the, like, 6-subject notebooks or whatever. You have little tabs for each of each subject so you can cut to that portion of the notebook and stuff.
Max, you got a folder, you know, with pockets inside, a pocket folder in junior high to keep all my papers in. And it actually was from the school itself. It had the Clint Mill Dragon logo on it.
Oh, that's fancy. I think the kids now, they just have them get different color folders, and each subject gets its own folder. And, yeah, I remember, I think it was kindergarten, we went through the class list, bought them all the stuff, and, you know, made sure we got all the good stuff that they would need, and none of the off-brand junk that we always got frustrated with. And we get to the school, and they just dump it all in one big community bucket, and I was like, oh man, really? I thought that stuff was going to be for my kid, not everybody.
Oh yeah, school supply donations, I get it. We used to give boxes of tissues and boxes of crayons. You know, we gave what we could. You know, my daughter had her own special pair of safety scissors.
Yeah, that's, that was, you know, the, yeah, I remember the tissues and stuff, but yeah, that was, now it's the Clorox wipes. But yeah, this was just like your pens and pencils and markers and crayons. It was all just dumped in one big community bucket. But that's, my aunt, she was an art teacher, but she taught at Children's Village in Oakland County, where all the juvies go to school. So she hit the garden, couldn't have anything sharper, couldn't have any scissors at all. Every pencil she handed out, she had to count and make sure she got back. And if they didn't get them back, they had to sit there until they found it. That was a different way to teach art.
I remember, this goes way back, in kindergarten, in like first grade, that, you know, we had to make huge line paper with all the dashes. You could learn how to write cursive or write your ABCs. And we did it with a big, huge black number 2 pencil. I think it was round and thick.
Yeah, oversized pencil, but I know you had the oversized paper. I still use that. And actually, about whiteboards, one side of the whiteboard is blank, and the other side has lines on it. That are those big lines for the practice handwriting. So we had to get those for when they were doing virtual schooling.
Whiteboards. We had whiteboards and chalk. And we had, for music, they had this one that had like 5 lines or whatever, and you draw it across the chalkboard to put the lines for the music notes. And, you know, but I remember we had colored chalk for certain things, yellow and red, blue, and of course white. And then always one of us went outside to pond off the erasers. So that was a neat activity.
Yeah, that when I was in school, they were all blackboards. I think maybe end of high school, they might have been starting to transition to whiteboards. These are a little like size of a piece of paper, almost like like you put on our lap and draw. But, yeah, All the classrooms now are whiteboards.
You graduate in like 2000 or something like that.
I was 2004.
God, my son was in junior high in 2004. I think he graduated the same year, a couple years after Dakota did.
Yeah, my brother was 2000, and I was 2004. So I was the baby of the family, so I was last one to do all that.
Well, I was the youngest of the middle two. I had three above me and two below me. You know, my oldest sister, my God, she graduated in 1980. My younger brother, if he would have graduated, he would have been, 90, maybe 91, something like that.
The can. I have mine set to, when it powers on, it automatically connects to the Siemens hub and you can do that. And then I have a couple of prongs out there when they're using the Sunday Night Net. It'll disconnect and go to the FBI for an hour and a half and then connect back. So you can automate a bit of that if you always want to be on the FBI node. You can have it set up so when it powers on, it connects on and stays on it.
Oh, yeah, I can do that just with the keystrokes, the *3, and then put in the all-star link for the FBI, and it stays on as long as it's running, and then disconnected at will. But I got it set up so when I go from one to the other, it disconnects automatically. That way I'm not hanging on, I'm not connected to two or three repeaters. So I'm still learning it, but I'm getting there. KCKJO, and gotta get fuel here, so I'll be back in a minute.
Yep, you knew the D2 was not. You can, big file, man, and stuff on that, just hop over, plug it in, and then, as we hear at the gas station, hey, be like.
I don't know who that was, but I haven't heard him come back.
Yeah, I didn't even hear the call sign, so. Oh, well. You at work, or are you sitting in a deer blind?
Oh, I'm not sitting in a deer blind yet. I did not get up that early this morning. I just took my daughter to school. I'm going to run some errands. Try to get the bathroom prepped for paint, and then think about going out to sit in the deer blind. Today's my last day off, so I'm trying to make the most of it.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I've been the last few nights coming home and just doing the afternoon hunt. Instead of staying at my buddy's house out in Ray Township, near where we're hunting, so I've been able to get a lot of stuff done, which is great.
I am less than enthusiastic about doing work when I get home. Of course, trying to get rid of this cold after a week and a half is, murder. Because my wife has it, so she's all sore, and then over the weekend, I was just all stuffed up and just felt lethargic and sore.
That sucks. Yeah, I know it's going around, but I hear you. Yeah, doing the work after you get home from work, it is not fun. That's why I've been trying to get as much done as I can. You know more than most. By the time you get home, it's definitely dark. By the time I get home, it's getting dark, so makes it hard to stay motivated to do chores.
And hopefully we have a couple warm days coming up, and then when I get home from work, I'll move the Blackstone somewhere else in the camper so I can get these picnic tables, or foldable tables, in there, because I have no room in my one shed, because it's full of stuff from the storage unit that I got rid of. So probably do that this week if I keep my head in gear. I've been squirreling out a lot lately.
Well, that's what happens when you get sick. That's all right.
Yeah, that's one that, I got my flu shot, but still, I don't know when I picked it up. But I was in two different schools the week prior, and It was me and my coworker. So one was an elementary academy, and the other one was a, well, they were both academies, you know, multiple class or whatever you call that, multiple grade academy. And as we're walking, I mean, kids are all just passing by us, so we picked it up from somewhere. It hit me the next day, it hit my coworker on Monday.
Yep, that'll do it to you. Hey, I'm running in. I got my first stop here. I'll be back out in the car probably 5 minutes. I'll call out. I'll catch up with you soon. It was K-8-R-U-H.
Have any day, KKKJ. I'll be around for a bit.
KJ, are you still out there? K-8-R-U-H.
Yes, sir. I'm in front of Dakota's alma mater.
Ah, you're still in your neighborhood, huh?
I'm going in front of Romeo Middle School, which used to be Romeo High School when Dakota and my daughter went there.
Yeah, but for this time of day, well, I guess it's not that late, but that's still relatively close to home as far as you wander.
Yeah, I got out a little bit late today. Woke up at what, 6:30-ish maybe, something like that. Jeez, my daughter didn't even leave for work yet. She's being a lazy bum and going in late because she was supposed to get a book over at Target. But then she got notified that she pre-ordered it. So it's like, okay, I don't need to go there, but still, I'll take my time going into work.
I know at one point you had told me she worked at that Pennzoil oil change at Gratian 59. Is she still over there?
Yeah, she went back. I mean, she left for like 3 weeks to go try out her hand at heavy equipment, and it was costing her more to stay up in Essexville, you know, so half her paycheck was going just for a hotel, you know, for a couple days, plus gas, and she said it was boring. She was just driving back and forth, so wasn't a big thrill that she thought it was, so yeah, she went back. They brought her right in, and she's been back there since.
All right, yeah, I was just wondering, because I got to get an oil change soon, and that's indirectly on my way out to hunt this afternoon, and that's where I used to always get my oil change, you know, probably 10 years ago. I worked right by there, so I was like, I thought about going there, and I was like, oh, I think Tom's daughter works there.
Yeah, she's kind of like the assistant manager, right-hand person to Alex, who's the manager. But the owners love her. She just says, I wish they'd love me enough to give me a raise.
Yeah, I think we all feel that way. It's tough out there right now.
Oh, yeah, she likes it, you know. She crabs like everybody does about their job, but, you know, Alex, the manager, is like her best friend, so they work side by side, and when she comes in late or leaves home early and stuff like that, he covers for her, and she does the same for him. You know, she's hourly, he's salary, so between the both of them, they run that shop, and she's pretty good at it. So, yeah, when if you get over there, can't miss her, she's the only girl there. And just call her Mouse, because that's her nickname.
If I decide to go there, I definitely will. Where are you headed right now? Are you going to the office or headed somewhere relatively far away?
I'm going to the office because the install job I'm supposed to help out with today. I was there yesterday and did one controller, but they're not ready to go. The network backbone isn't in, and so I can't program them even remotely. So I and today I said I don't need to go back there. The job is a little bit sideways. So I'm going to the office and pick up parts for the same location, but it's for other work that needs to be done that I got to do next week, and that's service.
Sounds like you get to have all the fun. I can imagine it's very frustrating when you get there and there's stuff that's not ready and all that kind of stuff. When you show up with your parts, you're ready to install, ready to get the system rolling, only to be told that somebody else didn't do their job.
I don't do a lot of installations. It is an active installation, but they're still putting up card readers, intercom boxes, mounting all the hardware, but the network backbone isn't ready yet. I need IP addresses, MAC addresses, and then I can go into the system and put the other controllers in there. So the regular person, because it's a subcontractor that's doing it for us, and the main guy that usually does all the programming and everything, he's off on workman's comp from a broken ankle. So the owner of the contracting company asked me to come on, give me a hand. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. You know, he's a pretty good dude, pretty good company. So I went over there yesterday, and I called him, let him know about it. He goes, really? He says, we're not even ready yet. He said, I thought they were further along than what they are, but they're pressing to get this done before the new year, and it's not that far yet, so they're trying to bust a move.
Yep, I can imagine it is difficult, and there's a lot of moving parts, and there's always somebody lagging behind.
Well, you know, the running cables to, you know, up to the interface boxes that are up on the second floor. The thing is, too, is, you know, there's a lot of tools, and, you know, like I said, moving parts in regards to tools and equipment and stuff like that. But when the individuals that are being escorted to their classes and stuff like that, you have to move all that away because it can be considered a tool against the guards.
Hey, Tom, I'm at my second stop here, so I will call back out in a little bit. If you're still out here, cool. If not, have a great day, and I will catch up with you soon. K-8-R-U-H.
Enjoy your tours today. I'll be out here for a little bit. K-8-K-K-O. Stay safe.
K-8-K-K-O. K-8-Z-R-I. I'm on 50 watts because you couldn't hear me earlier. Can you hear me okay right now?
Oh, absolutely. Are you on the Warren repeater?
I think I'm on the Warren repeater, the FBI repeater, but when I ker-chunk it, it's not coming back to me, so maybe I'm not.
Yeah, 11 and 75, you should be able to hit the Warren repeater on 5 watts. 442.600 PO123 with a positive offset.
I think I'm having some problems with this radio. I wanted to ask you real quick, what is this note stuff that you guys are talking about? Is that All-Star? How does that work? Could you briefly tell me about that?
The All-Star Node is a wonderful thing, and basically I have a little, it's basically a repeater, so you set up your own, in a pie to the internet and get linked directly to the FBI repeater or whatever repeater you want to connect to.
Oh, okay, I get it. That's one of those Raspberry Pi things. Yeah, I have one. I have to set it up at home for a repeater for my DMR radio. I'm trying to figure out how to program.
I have the Raspberry Pi for analog, for the FBI, and then I have an open, a sharp open spot. That's programmed for the Brandmeister to get onto MI5 and the other DMR sites.
Oh, okay. I get it. I can probably use the Raspberry Pi that I have then for All-Star as well as DMR, I guess.
That would be a question for one of the other Elmers that are a little bit more involved with it. I think you got Anthony out there, you got NAFSD, you got WHU, Sean, WHVD, Wally. They are all very fluent in this All-Star stuff.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll talk to him at the meeting then. I'll see you at the meeting Thursday. Okay, 73, I'll let you go. This is KE8ZRI out.
Hey guys, this is KE8RUH. ZRI, I don't know whether or not you can do that. In the little bit of research that I've done, most of these hotspots are either analog, being All-Star, or digital, being like DMR, P25, some Fusion, stuff like that. That I've seen, that I'm aware of, there aren't any, and I could be totally wrong, that do both.
Yeah, I think I've seen some place where they could do multiple modes. It could do them. I have to look into that more because I have to learn how to use that R-Sync hotspot. I haven't gotten that far. I just got the DMR radio working. Now I got to figure out how to get that hotspot going. But I think you can use it for both.
That would be very cool if you can. I know, in a little bit of looking, or at least the stuff that I've looked at, typically, All-Star and DMR are not, cannot be done with the same hotspot. And, like I said, caveat that with, I could be 100% wrong, but what I've seen, I don't think you can do both, because I would love to be able to run one node that's All-Star and DMR.
Okay, I'll look into it. Even if you could use it for both, you'd probably have to reconfigure it through PiStar.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
There is a node that you can do both on. It's the Soulbyte Clear node. It's about $375, and it will do the All-Star. According to everything that they've got on their webpage, Sean has told a couple people about it. So there is only one that we know of that will do both, All-Star and DMR.
And what was that again? It was what type of clear node?
It is the clear node hotspot. If you go look on their webpage, they've got a Pi 4 and a Pi 5. One's $325, the other one is $375, and it's sold by ClearNode. There's like no model number that I know of without going and looking at the webpage. WHBPD.
Thank you, sir. I'll take a look at that.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. 88, ZRI out, 73.
KEARUH, going to stop number 3. So, Tom, I'll catch back up with you later if you're around when I get back in the car.
Sounds like the plan, Ian. Morning, Brian. KJKJO.
Good morning, Tom. I hear you're getting a new neighbor up in Memphis. My daughter's old fiancé just bought a house up there.
Nice. You don't happen to know which house it is or what street, do you?
Not yet. I'm still working on that information. And I was gonna radio you when I found out, but yeah, he has been working real hard. Supposedly, purchase price was somewhere in the $200,000 range.
Wait,
you
said this is your daughter's
ex-fiancé? Yeah, his mother stepped in and broke that up because she thought my daughter was a gold digger, but whatever. I still like the kid. Who cares about the mother?
100%.
That's like my son and his girlfriend. I think he's a gold digger, but the parents are pretty decent.
Well, mother's got her father and her son
so wrapped, it's not funny. But because of her experiences and her getting divorced, everybody's good or bad, and she lays down the law and those two listen. But I don't talk to her, so I don't know. I do plan on being there.
Good morning. Good morning.
WAGD. Yeah, I will not. I have to go to the other side of the state for a wake funeral type thing. So I already told the powers to be. So I'm going to miss you guys.
Well, you do for most of us, we will miss you.
WAVD. So did you talk last night on your new note, Tom?
Yep, I'm getting the hang of it. You know, with the two macros, that's a big majority of human interest right there, you know, for SDI and for Mac. All the others, I can do the star 3 and the note number, and I know how to disconnect, so I use my bouncing on it, and then I have my, I have an Olico HD that I just front panel program and got that set in there. So all I got to do now is set it up for my Wi-Fi here in the truck. I brought it with just in case I have time to play with it.
Very good. Yeah, the macros are easy. Just copy the one I did. Morning, Brian. Go ahead. WAPD.
I think Brian's still out there.
Yeah, I'm still here. I switched to 5-1.
Yeah, you're doing just fine. I can hear you. You know, I got a little bit of static, but I think it's just where I'm at. I'm on the Warren repeater up here in Rochester Hills, Oakland Township area.
Yeah, I'm going by telegraph right now on 696 heading towards Milford.
You can try 442-175. I can't remember what the PL is on it. That's DJ's repeater there in downtown Detroit. And it's got a good footprint on it. So you might be dropping out of Warren just as you get to Novi.
Yeah, going through Southfield is real tough, man. Those antennas, those transmitters over there, they seem to mess with this radio. I see one right now.
Well, if you're at 696 and telegraph on 5 watts to the warrant repeater, I think you're doing pretty good.
Going by these antennas over here in Southfield as hell, it really tears up this radio. I can't receive anything. It cuts in and out.
Hey, Tom, you know that big fusion map I showed you yesterday? I think one of their setups are on top of one of those antennas.
Boy. That was fun climbing up there.
Oh, I'm sure it was. And the other thing that covers really, really good over there is the Novi statewide warning system, MI-51 or whatever you want to call it, Central Michigan Network. The Novi one works absolutely fantastic that way, too.
Oh, yeah. Usually when I go in that area in PMR, I bounce right into it. It picks it up real well.
That one's got a nice footprint. So say you, Brian, you're still there, and I think they're hunting for a spot for KAPR's link there, somewhere over there, too, for the FBI. I think they're hunting for that, so hopefully that'll come nice, and that is, they're working on the west end of our county, or more like the central part of Oakland County, so that'll be a nice footprint, but that's still a ways off from what I heard.
Yeah, well, are they going to do that next year, do you think?
As of the conversation I overheard Saturday, they were still hunting for the perfect spot.
Yeah, I think Sean is going to put DMR in over by, where was it? Richmond, I think.
That would be nice. I'm a DMR fanboy, as everybody knows. I'm a digital fanboy more than anything else. So, I do like that. Either works or doesn't work, and I thought, but it's fine. We're good. So, let's see, what else? Oh, going to the dermatologist. That's going to be fun. I'm going to take that nitrogen gun away from her.
Yeah, that'd be real nice if they get that DMR in Richmond and have a real good footprint then.
Yeah, but I think all of that stuff, just because of the weather, I think all that stuff's probably tabled till spring. At least that would be my bestest guess. Unprofessional, un-in-the-know guess would be that.
Yeah, if you put that in, I'd like to help out if he asks for help again. I believe it's Sean that's going to put it in. I don't know, maybe it's not, maybe it's somebody else, but I thought it was Sean.
Yeah, hopefully. We shall see. The biggest part of the whole thing is, one, getting the site and the permission and all that other stuff, and then the other part of it is getting the stick in the air. So that's the hard part, the stick and the wire in the air. That's the time-consuming part, and that's the part that takes special people. The ground crew, that's not bad. I've been part of the ground crew. You feed up coax, you put connectors on the end, things of that nature. That's not too bad. Then you just get, somebody to program everything up, which is what Sean usually does. And we get everything working. He gets everything working real nice. So the hard part, getting the baby in the air.
Which site or system were we talking about?
Brian brought up the a couple things. One, working on getting something on FBI in the west side, and the other thing that he brought up was the DMR project, but I was kind of speaking for you, said that I think all that stuff is going to be tabled till the spring.
Yeah, as far as west side, I have nothing. If I, you know, if I had somebody that was interested in joining, I would definitely entertain that, but I've got absolutely nothing going there. And yeah, we got to talk about additionals. But anyhow, I was just curious what we were referring to.
Yeah, Brian, over at Southfield, still hitting the Warren repeater, I think. He's not doing too bad for where he's at. Say hi, Brian.
Hi, guys. Okay, I'm, let's see, I'm well past that right now. I'm well past Orchard Lake Road right now, but I switched repeaters. I'm on the Detroit repeater.
There you go. That's our west side coverage, TJ's machine.
Yeah, if you ever look at a map, it is kind of a straight line that way, you know, because you got Detroit and then you got all these angles coming off from it, so I guess that would make sense. So very good. Well, there you go. We're covered. Oh, very good. Sean, what are you doing later on today? I might be able to make it over your way, grab a soup or a salad or some damn thing. I'm heading towards the dermatologist right now. This is probably going to take, wait in the waiting room for an hour, and then to visit, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you a ring when I get out of there. I'll call you on the bad phone or something.
Yeah, I'll be game. I'm trying to, like I told you, I'm trying to get things back under control, so I'm thinking about a omelet or something for lunch. I could be convinced to do something like that earlier, later, whatever. Just let me know when you're conveniently in the area, and we'll make it work. Brunch, lunch, whatever.
Think of the pantry.
That works. I can get an omelet and skip the potatoes and get some fruit or something.
Very good. All right. Yeah, I'm on with your contest about what we talked about the other chat later. All right, very good. And Casey and KJ, we got his nose running last night. So now he's got coverage in Memphis. Go ahead, Tom.
It's a wonderful thing. And I realized I hit the wrong note number in there for me, and then got that fixed, and didn't realize I had to flip that little cable back and forth. That was, 95% there, I think. Thanks for the help on that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, when you tell everybody you got to go upside down or you got to flip the direction of the USB-C cable, everybody looks at you like you're goofy. Phil looked at Sean like he was goofy when he was telling him it. So, go ahead, Sean. I'll let you finish up. Sign out. WVD.
Yeah, I got to get back to it. Got some things cooking here, so I'll keep an ear on WVD.
Still hitting it, Brian?
I'm with the road right now, and it's snowing. It's snowing out here.
Yeah, they got a weather advisory for the west side of the state. My phone, I listen to the west side of the state all the time. That's where I grew up. My parents live, and my brothers and sisters live, blah, 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 blah. So I listened to them, and I had heard the weather alert this morning. They got a snow advisory or something going on over there. Go ahead, Tom. Trying to control the order here. Let's do this. Well, I'm going to be out of here in about 4 minutes anyway, so you guys be good.
Yeah, I'm just pulling into the office part. so I will chat with you guys later. 73-KCKQ.
Over there, Brian, TMR, Elvis, your best bet. That's what you got with you. Not sure what radio you got. So, chat later. W8BD.
I'm on a back out of here, too. So, this is KEH-RI, clear.
KC8KJO, KC8KJO, NAWRO. Negative copy, NAWRO, clear. NAWRO Richmond, congratulations, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I had it 95% done, but I got a thing. Even when I had to flip the cord the other direction. So, good learning tool.
Well, there's that, and then there's also the fact that you're now up in the officially on the new roster, you're officially property manager now, so you should have the Discord rights to the leadership. So there you go.
Was it another portion of Discord I didn't know about?
Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of secret squirrel stuff. And I know you're on the job today, so when you get clear, N8VDZ just wants to talk to you about the go boxes and, you know, how they're going to proceed because he's getting about ready to, you know, deploy half north and half south. So whenever you get a chance, it might wait till Thursday, but I think he sent you an email direct. N8WRO.
Yeah, I'll take a look when I get to my first stop, heading to Midland.
Whoa, that's a little bit of a distance there today. So I heard conversations earlier. What's the weather like where you're at now? It's not snowing, is it?
No, I'm up here by Greeley's Cross, and nothing as of yet. But I heard that there's a weather advisory on the west side. And Midland's only an hour and a half from my shop, so. I'd rather go up there than go to Detroit and fill around with the Federal Reserve.
Copy that. All right, I'm going to get back at it. I got to do a little short PowerPoint for Thursday. So I'll be listening on all three, and we'll talk later. NAWRO, after you, sir.
Copy that.
So let me see if I can get them over here. Stand by, please. NAWRO.
how far I can get on this tower, Tim. I'm in Clio. JC22.
Yeah, good signal compared to the other that we were on. Just didn't make it. It was a digital on DMR and hardly making it on P25, if that was you. You want to put a Discord message out to John. He should be joining us, maybe. You want to run by the printer brand and model, if you know it. He just wants to know what kind of barcodes that thing would print.
K-E-A-W-U-O.
Go ahead, go direct with him there, John.
Well, just joining in here, so good morning, Tim, good morning, Tom, and anyone else in the roundabout or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I just was curious if you knew what, I need to know what model number that printer is, unless you know off the top of your head what type of barcode it's capable of printing, because I want to make some stickers for other things and potentially the gold kits, but I don't know. It's, yeah, so if you know the model number or what kind it can do, that'd be awesome.
Magic Card Rio 2. It's a newer model, but not too new a model. I've had it for a couple of years. So it's a Magic Card Rio 2. And it does do barcodes. It also flips, but it doesn't do like stickers or anything. It's strictly a ID badge printer. So if you were to make up a new ARPS badge for everybody and put a barcode on the back, it'll flip it near the barcode on the back, kind of thing.
Copy that. Sounds like it's a Magic Card Reader, or Magic Card Rio 2. And, so that should help us out a lot, and then I'll kind of know, there's like 30 different kinds of barcodes, so I just kind of want to know, like, which one do we want to go with, and then print those out, so. Cool. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I'll print any barcode design that you give, and I think there's a way in the format that it says what type of barcode, 3 to 9, ABA, or however you want to do it.
Copy that. Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you, sir. I'll send it back over to Tim, because I think that's all I got for this morning. And I'm driving further away, so I'll probably start fading here.
All right. Glad you guys could communicate there. Sounds good. I'm going to get back to the PowerPoint. Tom, safe travels. John, safe travels. NAWRO, clear, but I'll be listening on all three.
I'll be around. I'm in, where am I at? Oh, Bertrand. How do you like that? So, yep. If anything else, just tag me on Discord, and when I get a chance, I'll check into it. But yes, the Magic Card printer does have the capability of printing barcodes. It's just it only does it on a CR80 or a CR70 type of card, because it's made for ID badges. But it does have that capability.
WG8KLL mobile. WG8KLL in the mobile.
WAW. K8RUH.
K8PR. All right, give it a system mobile.
WABTD. WARCY clear.
W8RCY is home.
Are you on a node as well?
Yeah, I just got home. Let's just simply say I was in the hospital, and I was there for about 22 hours, and two hospitals, not one. So I'm just, you know, I've been texting Sean, and I just walked in the door at 3:33. So I just wanted to say hello and say I'm home. I'll catch up with you guys later. W-A-R.
Over to you, Sean.
Okay, yeah, I thought I saw text. You're home, so there you go. Don't get on the radio unless you're going to do Morse code. You do not need to be talking. Anyhow, glad to hear you're back. Must mean everything's okay. But, anywho, you said you were at the office, Wally, and then you said Ira Township. Is that where your office is technically located?
Yeah, we're east of County Line, just one block south of 26, so that's St. Clair County.
All right, does Ira run all the way down to the lake, the bay, I should say? Or is, how does that work? Like, what's right over County Line where down by you? Is that Ira as well?
When you get south of here, like about 24 mile, some of it turns into New Baltimore. It kind of has a section cut out that's on the east side of it, that part is considered the city of New Baltimore. But once you go, you know where the police station is, once you go past the police station, then it turns into St. Clair County. Just a minute.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't think it was Ira. I thought right across from you, right across County Line, down farther, was, why am I drawing a blank? Because Clay? No, Clay's a little farther over.
Well, Ira contracts with Clay for police. Ira has their own fire department, but they contract with Clay for police. But, yeah, just past the police department, it changes into St. Clair County, and then that's also Ira. But, like, from the police department straight north to about 24 mile, that section is New Baltimore City.
Yeah, I know full well it's New Baltimore, and then I'm concerned with the cross, and I know it's St. Clair County. I just was wondering what township it was. So. I know Clay is, if you follow 19, what is it? What is it running along the lake? Whatever. I know that it will hit Clay eventually, but so it's Ira, right when you cross County Line on Green Street, whatever it's called there. I forget what it's called. But that aside, as soon as you cross County Line, on the main drag there, Green Street, that's Ira. So Ira runs all the way to the bay. That's the question I'm just having trouble grasping.
To about, I think it changes right about where that bridge is, Bouvier Bridge, right in that area. I think that's what then it changes into Clay. Right when you do the sharp right and starts heading in a different direction, I think that's where it changes into Clay.
Oh, man. All right. I'll just grab a map because I'm getting more confused. I'm not worried about New Baltimore, St. Clair, Macomb, and all that stuff. I'm just wondering what the township is right across the border, wherever it may lay. So you're saying Clay now. So, okay. I'll just grab a map and look at it. Because when you said Ira, it hit through me for a loop. I thought Ira was farther up, but I suppose that's far enough up. We beat this horse to death, so no point in anymore.
Yeah. Well, what gets confusing is like Anchor Bay School, which is a Macomb school, that's in Ira Township, but that's covered by Clay Township Police. time the police are there doing all their checks and spot checks and everything else, it's always Clay. So that's where it always threw me for a loop for a long, long time, too. All right, I got to take a couple phone calls, sir. I'm not sure who else is out here, but I got to let you go for a minute. WB.
Roger that. All right, I'll be in here for a few more as I pedal home. WAW. All right, WFSM Mobile, check me.
KFAEMF. Jad Mobile.
KFADRC. WABPD.
Hey there, Brian. What's happening?
Not much. Just driving to the bowling alley. I remembered I didn't reply to your text this morning because I was busy working, but yes, I heard you.
That's okay, no big deal. How you doing anyhow?
Well, I'm doing good because I'm on my way to the bowling alley, and I know I'll have a couple of shots and a couple of beers, and then I'll eat at the restaurant before I drive home. I'll have a good evening tonight, unless I bowl really, really crappy.
Well, you're right. The weather makes people crappy, really. The weather like this, you know, cold, no sunshine, cloudy, you know, all that good stuff. Well, I don't mind. You don't have to, you know, get back to me.
No, I usually try and respond, just to let you know that I read it, but, yeah, the boss was around at that particular moment, and I set the phone down, and I forgot about it, because I was doing an online course at work, so, yeah, I'm over 60, I forget things.
Brian, we all do. I forget things, too, what I said.
Well, you know, you just had to throw in the Texas Hold'em was good, but you really got him with the Screw Your Neighbor one.
I know, and I forgot that was in Jeff. Another thing I forgot, I said, well, Jeff, thank you for running the net, but it was not Jeff. Anyhow, yeah, because we, every Christmas, we played that game.
I hadn't thought much about it. I used to play it when I was in the Army. But, yeah, you know, being an older family guy now, I don't think of those things.
Yes, for ATIC. Yeah, you're right. You know, we used to play in the Army, with the Army, in the Army, when I was there in 3 years, you know, turn. We used to play Texas Hold'em every night. Me and the lieutenant and sergeant, about 3 or 4 sergeants. We used to get together at night about 12 o'clock and play the game till about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was in the Army, we were all fresh out of high school, or maybe even college, but we were all young bucks. And on the weekend, we'd do all kinds of things just so we had to drink.
Yeah, I could have talked to you more, but I don't want to be, we're on the air, and I ain't about to do that, but whatever I see you, I will talk to you on bed anyhow. So... You gonna bowl in tonight for how many hours? Couple of hours?
Yeah, it starts about 7. It starts at 7. We get done between 9:30 and 10 usually.
Good. Then after that, you go eat. Go to the restaurant, right?
Yeah, there's a restaurant close by the bowling alley, and at Masonic in Utica, we stop and we have something to eat, because I usually don't eat there before I go bowling, so.
You know what? That is a good idea to do. This is what I used to do. If I got a lot of work to do, I would not eat till every job is finished out there. Then I go eat and I sit down and relax.
You know, usually I get done with the dinner and my bowling partner and myself, then we go home and I usually go right to bed. I know that's not good, but it's better than nothing.
Hey, you're right. Go ahead and enjoy it. Believe me, how many times he usually throw the ball in the bowling alley?
Well, there's 10 frames in each game, and you can throw the ball up to twice in 9 of those frames. In the 10th frame, you can throw it up to 3 times. So that could be, you know, 23 per game. So yeah, I try to throw as few balls as possible, so I want many, many strikes.
Yeah, well, what do you gotta do? What else besides work?
I'm going up north for Thanksgiving. My sister and her husband probably won't make it because they're doing things with his family this year. My brother said he'd be there, and if not, oh well, we'll still have a thankful evening, and maybe I'll get some hunting in, and then come home on Sunday.
That sounds good too. I thought you went up north, you know, Friday, and come back Sunday, and I didn't know you were going to be on the GM until I heard you out there. I went out first, and I never go out first. I always go after you.
Yeah, well, I was working that day too, and I had to take a break a little early just so I could call in to GM.
Yeah, as you were saying, well, good luck with the hunting, if you're going to go. Otherwise, if you don't make it, there's always another week or another year.
Yeah, well,
If I don't make it out, that the dude that'll survive to be a little bit bigger next year. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, I'm going to try and make breakfast on Saturday. We'll see what work looks like and all that good stuff. But I'm at my destination, and I'm going to go inside and have some fun.
Hi, buddy. Thank you for calling. No problem at all. If you're on Saturday, like just text me or something like that, I would come by probably. I would go there this Saturday probably anyhow. Take care and have a good evening. KFA DRC.
73 Jack, have a good evening. W8 BPD. I'll be clear.
NABBF.
W-D-8-K-O-L. W-A-T-T-D. Mobile.